we are live for HubNet News. What's up, boss lady?
Oh, ain't nothing. It's Sunday, getting ready for the week, and I'm just looking at these updates on this meeting with Trump and stuff that's going on. This is getting crazier and crazier.
You mean with him and Putin?
Yeah,
Michelle.
I'm like,
oh,
man.
Okay. Him and his boyfriend.
I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I had to do some research. What president? Who does that? Now, the way I understand it, they're supposed to be like for a summit, you know, with Russia, especially with Russia, it's supposed to be some type of process. This dude here ain't following none of the rules, like none of the rules. Mm-hmm. He just go for what he know.
Yep.
You know. Then I seen him say he don't take questions from CNN, from the reporter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's crazy. I'm like, wow. This is like not even precedent. This is like, I'm just sick of it. I don't even know what to say. I'm lost for words. This dude, it's like every day. I keep saying to myself, it can't get no worse, and it's just getting worse. This, and you will go and have a summit with this dude. Russia has always been an enemy of the United States. They are over bombing churches in Syria on a regular basis. You know, we can't turn the blind eye to stuff like that and think that they're not exempt from bringing some bull crap over here. On top of that. Didn't we just have like 20 indictments of some Russians from some crap that they done did?
Well, remember the Bob Mueller, the investigation into Trump? This is a part of it. This is some of the things that Bob Mueller uncovered on his way. I think it was, 12 people? Or 20? It was shitload. But they're indicted. They've been snatched up. There's some who is back in Russia. So...
indicted and they are up in Russia.
It's about 12 of them that are in Russia as we speak. So this thing is, Trump, if you're going to go be meeting with Putin, you make sure you come off the plane with them 12 dudes. You know, there's a lot of career anti-terrorism and you know, the elder statesmen who've been doing this for a long time. Listen. We shouldn't even be meeting with this guy. You know, he was able to say, well, it's a witch hunt, it's a witch hunt. Okay, we got bodies now. There's indictments now. There's some dudes who've been doing this for years and years. And I mean, when you read these indictments, there's some of these dudes, man, who not only hacked Hillary Clinton, they hacked the DNC, they hacked vital records from Texas, from Ohio, from Iowa, stuff like that, all the caucus states. These guys were doing their research and pulling a lot of data.
Wow. And what is the reason for that?
Hold on one second. Hey, Darius, give me a second. Mute your TV so we can it's giving some feedback.
I'm out the way.
No, you're a part of the show, but just kill your TV. I'm sorry.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies.
It's okay. It's no problem, man.
What
is the purpose of them hacking all these caucus states? What did he find that they was doing with that information?
Well, that part is still unclear, but the overall goal is they made sure they got the states that they knew were either swing states or states that would get the electoral college on. You know, they were playing chess. Hillary Clinton was playing chess.
So Trump can win and Hillary can lose.
So Trump could win. Yep. Now, the only thing, the one key thing that the indictment said was, even though they did all of that work, it still played no part in Trump's victory. It's just these guys tried, but it didn't really play the part because Hillary completely blew him out of the water by 3 million votes. So, but, hey, you know, that's crazy.
Well, so now these dudes is over in Russia. Indicting from being indicted here from the States means what? We can't go over there and get them.
No, we would have to, Russia would have to send them because we don't have that kind of relationship with Russia. We barely got the relationship with China. If this was Japan, well, we're coming to get them. We got military forces on your land. This is South Korea. No, we're going to come get them. But we don't have that kind of relationship with places like Russia. You know, where
and
they
Putin is, ain't going to give them up no way. So they
nope.
Working for him.
Yeah, they it was at his command. And when you look at some of these guys were high up in his ranking. They were part of, you know, these were his dirty, the dirt guys. You know what I mean? These were his black ops tech guys.
Wow.
These weren't just a bunch of like our hackers, a bunch of nerds. You know what I mean? Who want to get paid or they want popularity? These guys are state sanctioned. These are some scary, scary dudes. They created bots that literally went on the pages and created fake stories. So
damn.
I mean, this is some scary stuff. This is straight out of a Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
telling
you. Like,
if anybody,
man, I ain't never heard of no crap. This makes Whitewater look. Watergate look like nothing, man.
Oh yeah, I watched today. I watched today the guy who reported Watergate and the prosecuting one of the lawyers that was a part of Watergate, and he said, "Oh, we've been past Watergate almost a half a year ago."
Wow.
Watergate, like, man, we're so happy Watergate wasn't this bad. Or we'd probably be a whole lot grayer now than we were. You know, we've been grayer earlier because it's so much going on with this president, and it's just a matter of his level of stupidity to even. And his stupidity is one thing to be stupid. It's one thing to talk about something you really don't know. You just think you know. But he blatantly shoots himself in the foot.
That ain't
over
nothing.
And over, he shoots himself in the foot. Man, anybody, even a dope dealer, a gun runner who's been in federal court knows, who's been through the federal process, knows how this shit works. And you sit back and you look at this and like, yo, oh my God, I would have never did that. especially white collar stuff. White collar, man, you don't say nothing about nothing. You don't do no interviews. You don't talk to nobody. You shut your mouth.
Right.
You hire your lawyer, and your lawyer do all the talking, and you disappear. That's what I did when I had my federal case. I shut my mouth. I ain't had no choice. And my stuff was nationwide. It was a big case. So I couldn't do too much talking. It would have made my life even harder than what I did. So, you know, but when I look at Trump and he does these things like destroy what they call the fourth estate, which is the media. You know, you have the judicial branch, you have the executive branch, and then you have the legislative branch, and then you got the media to keep an eye on all of them, hold all of them accountable. And what you saw him do to CNN was just a blatant smack in the face. And what it was showing off because they had just talked to CNN not to, you know, because, you know, the press corps, they travel with him. They're in the back of Air Force One. That's the funny part. Mm-hmm. Just talk to the guy. Mm-hmm. So when he gets in front of the British prime minister, he puts on the show. Oh, we don't talk to them. You know, they're fake news. Like, come on, man.
Wow. Oh, boy.
You know? But, so what do you guys, put the first question out there. Are you guys aware of President Ding-a-ling, the big goof up that he made what was it, Friday? Or it was Friday. It had to have been Friday because I didn't find out about it until early Saturday morning because I wasn't feeling well. Did you hear about his dinner that him and Ivanka, or whatever his wife's name is, was with the British Prime Minister and her husband and the dignitaries, and they're at this fancy, world-renowned British place. They're having dinner. Did you hear about what happened?
No, I've been busy all
week. Okay. Well,
no. What happened?
President Ding Dong, he gets into town. He does some interviews with some British papers. Well, let me back up. A few not too long ago, he mentioned to some people that the guy who opposes the British Prime Minister, he would make a great Prime Minister. So, let's go to Friday night. He gets into town, or Friday afternoon, he gets into town, he does some interviews, he interviews earlier that day with some British news magazine or whatever, and he makes this comment, pretty much talking shit about the British Prime Minister. So, he gets to the dinner, which is something that the presidents and the British Prime, they all do it. They have this typical dinner at this famous place. It's like a museum, actually. And everybody's phones start going off because it hit the news, the national news and the cable news wires. President Trump endorsing her opponent and talking trash about her. And he's sitting there eating and he's talking, he's smooth. And everybody's looking at him holding their phones like, what the F? Is this not something written out of a Monty Python, Benny Hill show?
Yeah. Oh, Benny Hill. Did you bring up Benny Hill, boy?
Oh, my God. Is this not the fuck? It's like, this can't be real.
Nothing surprised me anymore.
Yeah. She found out while breaking bread with the man that he was talking smack. So that's why if you go back and you watch the joint press conference they did, and the people are asking questions like, well, you said this, you said that, you said this. Now, she had to sit there and keep a straight face and hold up she had to hold up the united front or whatever, because he went over there and completely made an ass of himself at the summit. The tail end of the summit ended in England, where he made ass of himself again. And it was just like, I mean, where the laughing stock? Did you see those protests? They were damn near riot.
250,000 people.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was funny, but I've been saying it on the show previous times. We're the laughing stock of the world.
Yeah.
And I think and nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
I'll say this again, that despite the protests, marches, and you can do that all you want, but that don't mean nothing if you don't vote in the midterms.
Yeah. But, you know, but see, that was over there in London.
That's exactly right, Darius. You're right.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I got a news story for y'all, though. I saw this video a couple days ago on Facebook where Mitch McConnell was in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking from a restaurant. These people came out of nowhere and said, vote you out. Vote you out.
Yes.
Vote you out.
I saw that.
Now,
good.
Now, this one man, he said, we know where you live, Mitch. We know where you live. And another woman said, where's the kids? Where's the kids? And these are white people. These are wet white people. I will show you the video link for proof. I'll put in HubNet online. I'll put
in
a shoebox.
Yeah, somebody posted it in the group.
I'll post it in the group after the show is over. This is it. I was like, these are white people saying this. I said, wow. I said, Kentucky's a red state. They never.
Well, you got to remember, there's a revolutionary war going on inside the Republican Party. You know, the old it's been going on before Trump even ran for president. It was the remember you had the Birthers, you had the who was those other rednecks, the Tea Party, you had
Tea
all
Party.
Those cuckoos, you know, the Libertarians, all them the Rand Paul people, you had all them running loose in there. Trump unified them under one flag, the flag of Trump. Now you had the conservatives who, you know, like John McCain, you know, them kind of guys, Joe Scarborough, them kind of guys. They just want to be conservatives. Conservatives, I don't hate, I just don't agree. But the rednecks, I can't stand them, and conservatives can't stand them because they're racist, they're hateful, and Mitch McConnell used to be a conservative, but he's turned into a sniveling little coward. And he's not standing up to this president. He has the power to make some things happen. Even if Paul Ryan don't want to, Mitch McConnell got some power to make some things happen. Because you know why? The Senate controls the purse of the president. And that's the secret that most people don't realize. That's why, you know, sometimes you'll see certain news stories targeting Mitch McConnell. Because he says what comes out for a vote and what does not. Remember 2 weeks ago, Bob Corker wrote a bill. He wanted to vote it on the Senate floor that states that Trump has to come through Congress to mess with the tariffs. What do you think happened? Mitch McConnell made it go poof. Didn't come up for a vote. That started a war. And it's just cowardly. And you know why? Because Donald Trump called the 8 most powerful Republicans on Capitol Hill over to the White House the day before and said, you better not put that out for a vote or you're going to raise, or I'm going to raise hell on you. So what do you think they did? They obeyed. Trump is Masa to them. It's that deep. So expect your imported goods from China. You're going to start seeing it when you go to Walmart. You're going to start seeing it when you go to your dollar store or wherever you get your goods and stuff from. You're going to see how some products have tripled in price, especially if they came from China.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, there go all the hair care products.
I mean, it could be. It could be. You know? But, yeah, it was 12 Russian intelligence officers indicted for DNC hacking. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein announces the
indictment
of 12 Russians.
I want to know, speaking of the DNC, what are they doing? Because this is some bull crap. They are not helpful. There's some stuff that they could be getting together doing. And I'm not seeing anything that they're doing. I'm very disappointed in the DNC.
You know, I was with you. I was in that place where you're at right now about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so I started looking at the research where their strategy has been less national, more local, getting behind the right mayors, the right state council reps. Write this, to write that, making sure the right congressional people are going for jobs in D.C. So they've decided to fight Trump on a grassroots level. So it's pretty much like they took the Obama concept and they looked at all the mistakes that they made with Hillary and they're targeting them first. Remember, I told you on Wednesday, there was literally a civil war in the Democratic Party. Because the people who are out there going down from D.C. down into these states with the money to support the candidate that they think got the best chance of winning and staying, these guys who actually did the work, they had to go carry the Hillary flag and they didn't want to. And they told the higher-ups that this is a bad decision. We should be getting behind Bernie, but Bernie is not a Democrat. Bernie is 365 days of the year, he's an independent. He caucuses with the Democrat. He only ran as a Democrat because an independent cannot run in the midterms. You have to wait until the end which would have made it a three-party race.
Oh boy.
So, but look at it this way: who was that? Who was that crazy person who was a pedophile and all that stuff, and the Democrats spanked him?
Who?
I can't remember what state was that. Remember the crazy pedophile a couple months ago? That was running for election and he lost.
The white dude, the white dude.
Yeah.
What's his name? I forgot his name. We got a Democrat and a Democrat whipped him.
Yep, a Democrat whipped him, and the Democratic Party sat back and waited to the last minute to get behind this guy because they wanted to be sure, but they got behind him eventually. Look at the Hispanic sister over in New York, who just beat a long time Democrat. She's going to run up against a Republican, and then she's projected to spank this Republican. The Democratic Party is getting behind her. So, I mean, it's they're reinvesting resources in the small elections and making sure they get the state houses back. Why is that important? Because they want to make sure that they are able to sue this president. Like Pennsylvania, when they tried to stop Obamacare money to flow into the state, Pennsylvania sued and won, so the money came. People, Medicare, everything's all jacked up for trying to mess everything up. They sued and won. And there's a couple other states. So that's why it's so important to turn over. Like Texas, there's so much stuff going on in Texas. I lost my head about the express. I don't want to read nothing else about Texas and Ohio, because Ohio is falling behind Texas. That's so weird.
What the hell is going on here in Texas?
The voting rights, how they're trying to change the way voting is done, the whole idea of dropping people from roll in Ohio was a Texas thing. But the Dems got together and fought and sued and got it reversed. They was trying to do it in Texas first. So there's so many dropping people who haven't voted from roll.
Who's coming up with that?
Well, they tried it in Texas and lost. They succeeded in Ohio. Right, Darius?
Yeah, it was a 5-4 vote. So basically, if you have not voted in the last two or three elections, you'll get a letter. But if you still haven't voted, they can strike your name off the record, and then you had to probably re-register to vote. So
why
I saw that coming.
Why in the heck would you do that? What is the purpose of that?
The voter purge, that's what the Republicans are doing. They're trying to target us, minority. That's what it is.
Yep, voter purge and voter suppression. And a little bit of gerrymandering they think tried to do in there too.
But I will say they did, Governor Kasich, it came up to a vote we had in the last election, local election, that they're going to redistrict the votes in the state of Ohio. Now, I don't know if it's going to be taking effect in this midterm election. They're going to start that maybe next year or by 20, and it was an overwhelmingly support for it. I think 70-30 in the votes.
So that means they're going to do what?
They're going to redistrict like the votes, because where I live at is like much of a Democrat part from Dayton on, like the Trotwood area. But if you go down to Southern Ohio, like the Cincinnati, that number of Republican, and parts of Cleveland is blue, but the majority of the state is red. Columbus, Toledo, all of the 88 counties in Ohio, maybe four or five, maybe six, it'd be partially blue, but yeah, that's what they're doing.
Hmm. Well, I didn't catch that. I don't know how I missed that, that they were trying to do that here in Texas. I've been so busy. It's been so much going on down here with this immigration stuff that I missed that. Yeah, I missed that. So voter purge. That's the minority. That's them doing away with you know, the seniors and the people that's not able to get out and vote. They tried to do that when Obama was running in what state was that? And people, the churches and stuff, was getting together and picking up the people to take them to the voter, you know, making sure they get their cards updated and stuff like that. So they've been trying to do that. I didn't know they was just pushing the issue here, here in Texas.
Yep, it's a lot going on in Texas. It's a lot of underhanded nonsense going on down there. I've heard everything from them trying to fight the Voters' Right Act. I mean, I heard some from Al Sharpton the other day listening to his show.
We just had a convention down here from the NAACP this weekend. Yeah, they was down here doing some stuff. What's his name? Anthony Anderson was here. Was one of the dudes here. Here in Texas, in San Antonio, had a convention down here.
That's let's see what they get done. I seriously doubt it.
What, NAACP?
Yeah, let's see what they get done. I mean, I will say this though: the NAACP fund, legal fund, is helpful. You can extract funds from them to get legal services when you have nowhere else to go. You see what I'm saying? Like some of these people who've been catching these civil rights issues who need legal representation, you can call on them and they will cover you. So I will give them credit for that.
Well, I heard opposites. I mean, you got a dang near need. I don't know what it would take for them to come. There's some people that reached out. You got a dang near qualify for them to come here and give you some money for a case.
Oh yeah. Because it's criteria. They look at your situation and say, is it worth, you know, investing the money? And not only that, the money is few and far in between. You know? So, because a lot of folks stop donating to that fund because in modern society, some people don't see them as being as effective as they was back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's just, you know. It's just like the problems we see in a lot of other nonprofit organizations, religious organizations. The money ain't flowing like it used to because people don't have the same value system as they used to have.
No.
I wanted to introduce Coop to the conversation.
Coop, coming to the table. Have a seat.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, Coop.
I wanted to touch on that voter. If they haven't voted for a while, how they trying to remove them and stuff. That's an attack on the minorities because historically the minorities are the ones that don't get out to the polls. And once you remove them off the record, then they will have to fight their way back on. And that just gives them more advantage as far as like what they did with Obama. It was mad because he energized the minorities to get out. But if you get them books, then it's a struggle to get back on the books. Because even if you're fighting to get on, they're going to delay it to the point where you might not even get your vote counted. You know, and I'm from Florida, and it really makes me mad with the voting system here because the hanging chat system and all that other bull crap. This is another way for them to try to steal the elections, or at least try to suppress the vote.
What's a hanging chat?
A hanging chat is when you when they had a system down here where you had to punch your card, and if it didn't
mm-hmm.
punch all the way, sometimes it don't always cut all the way through, so it's kind of
yeah.
like it's still attached, so it don't punch all the way through, so the little dot or whatever it is don't always come all the way off. If it's hanging at all, it's like still
mm-hmm.
attached to the thing. They actually call that a hanging chat, and your vote is not counted. Now that's
yep.
what?
Good
yeah.
Lord,
that's,
what are you doing
that?
That's what
that's how Bush got elected, because a lot of that stuff happened down there with those elderly people. You got to keep in mind, Florida is a retirement state, so you
yeah.
got a lot of these people that was doing the punching, and they didn't punch all the way through. That's how he
yep.
Bush was able to steal the vote, because they threw out so many. I think at one point it was like over 200,000 votes or something like that that they
mm-hmm.
had that they just threw out because of the fact that it was a hanging chat, or even though you could clearly see what their vote was, because it was
yep.
not punched all the way through, they cast them to the side. And that
wow.
that's
where they go electronic.
Yeah, but see, the thing is with electronic is they have already shown that you can actually change, if you computer savvy, you can actually do a lot with the
yeah, you can hack
computer before in the program. They have already shown that they could change votes inside the system. You may think you're voting for one thing, and they can actually set up the computer software to where it changes your vote. So, I mean,
yep.
they already shown.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah,
but that's
yeah, because that all came out with the Al Gore George Bush, if I recall,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hanging chat.
Yeah.
That's how he won the vote, because he literally would have lost if they had counted the hanging chat, and it's embarrassing.
Remember, it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court awarded him. George Bush did not win that election. He was awarded that election by the Supreme Court.
Mm.
Yeah.
Remember, they took it all the way up to the court. And his brother was the one that authorized that someone out of the chair, because his brother was governor
yep.
at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was
and Al Gore wrote about that in his book.
Yeah. See, his brother had, I mean, the one state that really affected was Florida. And it was
mm-hmm.
his brother that was the governor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's
it's
so
just
much
funny.
Underhandedness going on right here, and it's just, you know, that right there. I was just like, wow. And we just, you know, we didn't do nothing about it. It was just like, okay, Bush just stole the election, and there wasn't no investigation going on where he,
well,
did, you know, got caught doing some illegal shit.
Well, it's the reason why. Because Al Gore had the option to take it to the Superior Court in the state of Florida with the options of investigating, and he had the Florida delegation behind him, the Democratic side. So he chose not to because he saw what was happening to the country. The country was literally split in half. And it was getting ugly. You see how the country is now? It was almost like that in 2000.
And not only that, you got to keep in mind that the governor is the guy that you run against, brother. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's like taking a knife to a gunfight. You know, you're fighting against, it's already stacked against you. I mean,
well,
I don't see any way he could have won that anyway.
No, because you got to remember, they were taking it to the state courts. The governor can't control the state courts. He can appoint,
I know that,
but he can't control. So he had the black caucus behind him. They were right behind him, and they said, you should do it, and he said, nope, because this is going to be long, it's going to be drawn out, it's not going to be, it's going to take maybe 2 years. Bush would have been, and think about it like this. What do you think would have happened? Bush, 2 years into his presidency, And all this came out, and they would snatch his ass out of the White House and put Gore in. So it would have been like, it would have been all hell breaking loose, because at the time, this was the rise of the neocons. This new wave of Republican was rising. The Dick Cheney group, the white boy with the white hair, what's his name? Billy Crystal. All the cuckoos that begged Clinton to stay and invade in Iraq back then, when Bush got in, they made sure he did it. And what happened when he did it? It brought the country together. The country was split down the middle. 9/11 happened. George Bush goes to New York with his little funky ass outfit. He's standing there talking to the terrorists. We're going to come get you. Everybody loved him.
But, Hakim, I hate to interrupt you, but the one thing that kind of upset me the most, and this is a true story, me and my family, we were down in New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina hit. And I remember seeing on CNN, like, it was going to hit New Orleans, Alabama, and Texas. But the thing that got me angry, it took President the whole week to help the people. But we helped other countries out within 12 hours.
Man, oh, man.
I was down there in New Orleans before it hit. True story.
Yeah. That's still, but you still bothering my mind.
Look how long it took Trump to help Puerto Rico.
He
still ain't did that.
Still ain't doing, because that's intentional. They want Puerto Rico to be as dilapidated as possible.
You have to keep in mind those areas you're talking about are minority dominant areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to rush to save us. It's the same way people were talking about reparations and stuff. We would sit there and bomb the crap out of Japan after they attacked us and then go and build them up to be a superpower. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed us, killed thousands of people, and then we destroy them, and then we go and build them back up to where they're actually doing better than us in a lot of areas.
It's the same thing I've been saying for years. I said we bomb other countries. We get like 10 to 15, even 20 billions of dollars of what we can't help our own people here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's just like when I was stationed in Spain, and we was in the Desert Storm back then, and the Spanish girl came up to me. She said, I don't understand why America think they want to be the world's police when they came and handled their own business at home. And nothing I could say. She said that to me, and this girl was only like 18, 19 years old. And I couldn't possibly say it because it was 100% true. Our country is nothing but bullies. I mean, you think about it. United States, when a country is as powerful or has some firepower behind them, we want to sit at the table and negotiate. When it's a country that we think we can sit there and dominate, we want to go and call CNN and do a shock and awe campaign, want the world to see what we can do. But let a North Korea say we're going to bomb you before you bomb me, and what we're going to do, we're going to sit on our hands and sit all down in the corner, say we'll wait till you come to the table. We're a country or a bully. This country is a bully country. Matter of fact, I was talking to a guy today, and he was talking about Afghanistan. Afghanistan, he said, and I haven't checked this, but I'm going to check it later. He said Afghanistan, the reason why we went into Afghanistan was not because of anything or Bin Laden and all that stuff, that it's actually one of the most lithium-rich countries in the world.
We went in there
and took the lithium that we wanted, and we killed a whole bunch of people, had a whole bunch of people killed on our side for lithium. And I believe them. I haven't verified it, but I believe them because
I've
that's what
that
America
before.
Does. Yeah. So, I mean, and then we start talking about 9/11 and the Pentagon and how a plane's supposed to hit the Pentagon. Ain't no plane going to hit the Pentagon and make a perfectly round hole and not have an engine or nothing there. Every plane crash you ever seen that hit land, you can find the engine. They never show you an engine on that Pentagon crash. Never.
What?
You
what
didn't
you
see no.
Say?
Yeah, that's true. One of my friends,
that
we got. She showed me the video.
So what you trying
it
to
wasn't,
say?
We got.
That,
that's
what nobody trying to say. It's bullshit. Everybody knows
that,
bullshit
that,
by now.
That Pentagon
was,
got hit
so
by.
There was, so there was no airplane that went into the Pentagon.
No,
no, a missile that went into
the
Pentagon.
I mean, look at it this
Shut
way.
Shut your ass up. I ain't never
but,
heard that before.
No, Janet, this is true. One of my friends, and we talked about this, and she showed me the video for proof.
Yeah, that's something that's been documented. But you got to understand, when you say it, the first thing people do is call you crazy. When Mos Def said it on Bill Maher's show, that comes on a Friday night on HBO, he called him. He said, come on, I always respect you. You sound like one of these crazy conspiracy theorists. You got to stop and realize something. The country was falling apart. We were looking at
excuse me, I got my hand up.
George Bush.
I got my hand up. Excuse me. What missile? Whose missile?
Hey, you don't
it
think
had,
America
had to
attack its own self?
Yeah,
what?
That ain't nothing new.
America
will burn down its own
them.
Cities.
Hey.
So you're telling me that the United States you're telling me that the United States shot the Pentagon a missile at its own Pentagon
think
for what?
The, yeah,
what was
yeah.
the purpose?
It's
Janet,
to push the narrative
this.
That they were under attack.
Yes, yes. Think about this. If they had to try to go into Iraq without some type of attack, there would have been
mm-hmm.
pushback. But once you had attack, it galvanized the American spirit to say, yes, go and get them. If you
mm-hmm.
go on to you have Netflix. Do you
yeah.
have Netflix? Go watch In Plain Sight on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And they will
what
show you
that?
Some stuff. It's a documentary, In Plain Sight. That's the name of it. And it's plain, Plane. Now, keep in
mm-hmm.
mind, you actually first look at the documentary, when it went into that Pentagon, there were some people that they actually took people and told them, you cannot talk about this no more. If you think about 9/11, when they first started reporting the Pentagon hit, they were showing you pictures. And then all of a sudden, pictures of the Pentagon stopped being sold.
Yep.
They stopped. They would report on it. But you didn't get no live reports from the Pentagon no more. You had
yep.
stuff, and they stopped showing you because if they show you too long, you're going to start to pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
and
telling
not
you
that.
That.
What happened on the legal side right after it happened? Literally within a week's time, a new major life-changing event happened in the dead of night. The Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was created to give a president war powers at any given time. The whole idea of preemptive strike, if he thinks that you won't hurt me, he has war powers to go over there and do. If he thinks that a country has the ability to hurt us and he gets some intel, he don't have to wait. He don't have to go to Congress. He can do it himself. That's scary. And not only that, you get locked up. How they what he was talking about, how he enforced to keep these people quiet, the Patriot Act. If you spoke on it, it's considered treason. You wake up in Gitmo.
Yep, they went.
Telling the truth.
Some of the people that was being interviewed and stuff like that, some of them, if you actually follow them, some of them died shortly after they got interviewed. On CNN
what?
And all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they disappeared. They are now sleeping
mm-hmm.
with the fishes. I mean,
I heard
Kara
talk about that.
Huh?
I didn't know people were dying until I heard Kara one when
yeah.
he was doing one of his seminars, and I heard him saying, "Oh shit, they died? Damn!" I just thought they
yeah.
just made them disappear, put them in a country house somewhere, but then they off them.
God, no. You, hey, dead people tell no secrets.
Mm-hmm.
They die. And you think about it. If you even go back and look at when the towers fell, they talked to all these engineers, and there was no reason for those towers to fall. And if we look at it, it was it sounded and it looked just like an implosion where they sat there and set charges.
Yeah.
Demolition. Yep.
Not only that, but they said that other building, those first two towers that fell, that third building was the backup data system. And that all of a sudden fell too. So they wiped out everything. They wiped out those two buildings, and they worked out the backup servers in that last building to destroy all evidence.
Yep. And what was – I don't know if where all y'all were on the day of 9/11, but what happened to your cell phone at the time of it happening?
My shit was cut down. I couldn't call my family or nothing.
Yep. I had three phones. Well, I was literally two blocks away from the U.S. Mint over in Philadelphia. So I had 1,000 people in the day and 1,000 people at night. I sent all my staff home because we were near a federal institution. And all we saw is on ABC News, them saying they're hitting federal buildings. They hit the Pentagon. They hit this. They hit that. And they were on their way to Philly or they're on their way to somewhere one got shot down in Pennsylvania. And then another one was swimming on his way to the White House or something or other. I don't know. But at any rate, we're near the place where they print money. So we said, okay, let's get out of here. They're hitting financial federal institutions. And I couldn't call my family.
Well, I can't speak on that because I was in Hawaii and I worked in an Intel facility. And at the time, we was watching it on TV, so we couldn't have our cell phones with us anyway. So I don't know what happened to cell phones. Right then, but I was watching it on CNN. So,
Well, when you look at that timeline of everything that happened from the time George Bush got elected, it's crazy because it happened not too short after he got elected. The guy looks like a hero. The guy, if he did it right, he could have been the most popular president. If he was a good president, let's say all this shit is fixed to make him look good, to reshape this American image. If he did it right, he would have been the most popular president in the history of this country. If he would have went and got Saddam, not Saddam, but Bin Laden, like he should have, because if Bin Laden
took back
behind
to-
it, he should have went and got him, right? No, he went everywhere but where Bin Laden was. Because remember, the Bin Ladens and the Bushes are old family. They're old family friends.
Yep.
Then you look at the guys who flew the planes, who crashed the plane. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, all our so-called allies. they were from our so-called allies. This shit just stunk from day one. It starts stinking the minute you did your research. So then,
but
instead of us looking for Bin Laden, we start going over in Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction. That was
no
that
weapons
was
of mass
destruction.
Yeah, my cousin was in that war.
My mom was too. My mom was in Desert Storm.
And I when 9/11 happened, I was a junior in high school. I was in school the day it happened. And I was in my government class, and my teacher said, "This is what government's all about. You see what's going on." And from that day forward, the world I knew just went upside down.
Yep. Me too. And let me tell you something. If you live in New York, the Twin Towers, that wasn't the first time that somebody was – they had tried to blow up the Twin Towers before. They tried to
put
some vans down and tried to get the base of it, blew it up to the bottom. That building did not – it shook, did not move. That was the base. That was what you call demolition. When you go down in the parking garage down in the bottom and you blow the foundation up, try to blow the foundation up of this huge ass building.
He wasn't deep in enough to do any serious damage.
Hey, but let me throw some stuff at you.
That,
I have to be the one to say this. I don't believe that the United States sent the missile into the Pentagon. I don't believe
I've seen the video.
I'm looking up here trying to look at it now. I've never heard that before. I don't believe it.
Listen,
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Let me tell you something. Janet, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you, I worked in Intel. The government will not tell you this, but they do a lot of shady stuff. And I hate to tell you.
I know they do.
But let me tell you. When we bombed back in 80, I think it was 85, 86, somewhere around there, when we bombed Gaddafi. Anybody remember
mm-hmm.
when we bombed Gaddafi?
Yeah,
the man, but we didn't get him. We got his son. You
mm-hmm,
remember
mm-hmm.
when we did that?
Yep.
Back in 1991, right before we started Desert Storm, I was in Spain, right across from Libya. And I know for a fact we do things to try to get something started. We
yep.
intentionally sent ships inside of Libya's country's territorial waters because Gaddafi had told us 30 miles off the coast of Libya was his water. Anything after that was international water. I know for a fact that America, and this is something I know, not what I heard. I know for a fact that America sent what looked like a relief ship with hospital symbols on it, which was not relief ship. There was military
mm-hmm.
ship into his waters, hoping that he would do something to those ships so it could justify going into Libya. I'm telling you, don't
mm-hmm.
believe the government will set things up. I'm telling you not what I heard.
I do.
I'm telling you right now, if you look at that Pentagon, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at that Pentagon and you could find some pictures when they first showed the Pentagon, you will not find an airplane engine anywhere. You will not find any wings anywhere.
No
wings,
no nothing.
You will find a perfectly circle hole, and that's it. Now, you tell
yeah,
me
I've
a
seen
plane that got to go. A plane that going into the Pentagon should have made more than just a hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a hole. It's not going to make a hole. It's going to slice through the building. And I'm telling you right now, they have never, and you show me where you find anywhere where they show an engine part or a wing part that hit that
mm-hmm.
building. Show me any of that. And I'll say you are right, Dan. If
and
you could show me one picture.
You remember the default bunk?
That.
Remember the defense
huh?
to why you couldn't. Remember their response to why there was no real physical debris was, oh, it must have been a full tank of fuel. And so a full tank of fuel on a plane collides and disintegrates every aspect of the plane. Not a black box,
no.
Not an ass cheek, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay.
Listen.
I mean,
listen.
I want you to understand something. This is the country that were purposely sterilizing the Puerto Rican people back in the late 60s, early 70s, so they wouldn't have babies because America thought
hey.
It was too many of them. Come on,
hey,
man.
Hey, let me,
what?
Hey, Jan,
come on,
I'm gonna throw something else at you. I'm gonna throw something else at you. The guy that
owns hold on, guys. We're at 10 seconds. The show, unfortunately, we got to wrap up. Thanks, everybody. It's been a good conversation. We're going to do this again next week. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Guys, say goodbye.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Night.
UpNet News.